Charlie Gibson and Brian Williams and a tough old U.S. Marine sergeant were captured by terrorists in Iraq. Leader of the terrorists told them he'd grant each of them one last request before they were beheaded and dragged through the streets. Sorry about that. I guess breakfast wasn't too long ago. Well, Katie says, well, I'm a southerner, so I'd like one last plate of fried chicken. So leader nods, and soon an underling brings in Katie's final meal, a big fried chicken dinner. She says, now I can die content. Charlie Gibson says, well, living in New York, I'd like to hear the song The Moon and Me one last time. So an underling comes in and sings The Moon and Me, and Charlie says he can die satisfied. Brian Williams says, I'm a reporter to the end. I want a tape recorder so I can describe the scene of what's going to happen. And then I can die happy. So that was granted. Finally, the leader turns to the Marine and says, now, Mr. Marine Sergeant, what is your final wish? He says, kick me in the behind. He says, listen, you will mock in your last hour. He says, no, I mean it. I'm not kidding. Just kick me in the behind. So the leader shoves him into the yard, kicks him in the behind. The Marine went sprawling, rolled to his knees, pulls a 9mm, and kills all the terrorists surrounding him. As the Marine was untying Kirk Gibson Williams, they said, why did you just shoot him all in the first place? Why did you ask him to kick you in the behind? What? Replies the Marine. Have you three report that I was the aggressor? Amen. All right. Brother Spurgeon, come ahead. Those of you that are coming into church unsuspecting here this morning, yes. Brother Spurgeon's been with us since Wednesday, been here each night, and we're looking forward to a full day today. So,
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I feel like I work for Verizon. Amen. Maybe I'll do commercials. I never thought about that. I just figured the evangelist retirement program involved becoming a greeter at Walmart or something. Amen. That's about the only thing I'm qualified for. I could say, welcome to Walmart. Could I give you something to read? I probably wouldn't last there very long. But praise the Lord, I'm sure the Lord's going to come back before I have to worry about that. At least I'm hoping so. Anybody else like that in here? Amen. But today I'm glad we have a Bible and a place to meet and the freedom to meet. Amen. And open your Bible now to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we'll read a verse there and I'll try to teach for a little while. Amen. I'm not really a teacher, but the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Patient even. Amen. I didn't use that verse last night. And I don't know if this will come across as teaching, but it's apt to. You never know. You never know. And we're going to try to be a blessing to you this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says this, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Where the word of a king is, there is power. And the interesting thing about that, of course, is this, that the King of Kings, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, used a king, amen, to authorize the translation of his holy, impeccable, infallible word into the language that not only you and I could understand, but that we could take to the rest of the world. Amen. And the King of Kings used a king because of this reason right here, because where the word of a king is, there's power. And the Bible talks a lot about the power of words. I'm going to teach to you. I got to keep that in mind. That this lesson today will be on the subject, powerful words. And the Bible talks a lot about how powerful and important they are, and primarily His. And it says in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I tell you, with all the temptation and the frailty of the flesh, if the formula for not sinning against God is found in hiding His Word in your heart, that's a very, very powerful, powerful formula, isn't it? And I think in that verse you also find the reason why there is so much sin within Christian circles. Amen. Why we struggle with things year in and year out. Why the flesh wins so often. It seems to me like just based on that verse alone, it just might have something to do with not hiding the Word of God in our heart. The Bible says to be a doer and not just a hearer. And if you're just a hearer, you'll forget what manner of man you were. And boy, the day you do that, you forget what manner of man it took to redeem your soul. And boy, there's a great danger in that. But I know this. I know this. I know this about your preacher. I know that he gives you the pure words of God. I know that some of you know more Bible than I do. And I don't have any problem admitting that at all. It's to your credit, amen, that you got a thirst and a hunger for the Word of God. And so I'm not going to spend the hour talking about that. Amen, because he does. Because you get that. Because that's part of the fiber of this church. But what I do want to talk to you about for these minutes is the power of your words based on the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, again, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask, Father, that you meet with us and everything that's going on in other classrooms, Lord, help the folks that are laboring to be a blessing to the children. I pray that they would be, that the kids would get something, make them a little more pleasing in your sight, give them some stuff to pique their curiosity, Lord, and want to know more about you and all the things that are supposed to go on, I pray they would. And the things that aren't supposed to, I pray they wouldn't. And Lord God, I pray now for this hour to help me say what you want said. And may it be a blessing to your people who gathered here this morning. And we pray and ask that in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now go to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at some verses here and kind of set this thing up. Let's look at some verses that will just kind of emphasize what I've tried to say. Words are powerful. Your words are powerful. And it says some things about them in verse 2. It says this, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." And, if you got an iota of honesty in you, you'll admit, you'll be able to think back, you'll be able to recall a time when your words got you into trouble. Amen. And that's why the Bible talks a lot about them. It says in chapter 7, Proverbs 7 and verse 21, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him." You got the chapter dealing with a man void, a young man, void of understanding. And it says this, and this is profound to me. She overcame this young man with words, not physical strength, not power. Amen. This girl couldn't put this guy in a chokehold. She forced him with her lips. Her words were pretty powerful. Amen? I got to have at least one amen when I say that, or I'll go blank or something. I don't know. Amen. I'm going to get my own little tape recorder with a rock. Amen. Amen. It says, go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. And look in verse 19. Some of you hadn't been here all week. You're going, "Who is this guy?" Amen. It's going to be a long day. I know. Amen. Verse 19, the Bible says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, there's no lack of sin. The more talking that goes on, the more the likelihood, amen, that the wrong things are going to be discussed. And that's just the truth. John Wesley once said, "I try to limit all my conversations to 15 minutes or less. Amen. And he said, I've noticed that after 15 minutes, the temptation to talk about things I shouldn't, I think the Bible word for that is gossip. The temptation is too great. Amen. And that tells me that he knew some Baptists of his day. Amen. Amen. Because in our crowd, in the multitude of words, there's no lack of sin. Amen. And we get victory over some of the things, the obvious things. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lifelong struggle to get victory over our mouth. Hold it right here. Good teaching, Brother Spurgeon. Okay, amen, I can go now. Amen. Go to Matthew. Well, let me just tell you this one. Matthew 26 and 73. You got Peter there at the fire. The Lord's been arrested, and they're accusing him of being a Galilean, which he was. And they said this. They said, "For thy speech bewrayeth thee." Amen. Just his accent, his speaking voice betrayed him. Told the people there in Jerusalem where he was from. Amen. And it's that way today. Thy speech bewrayeth thee. I travel around the country, coast to coast. Amen. I hear all kinds of dialects. I hear all kinds of colloquialisms and expressions that people use. Amen. I got to preach in Massachusetts a couple years ago. We'll be going back in a couple months. Amen. I didn't know there's any Christians up there, but there is. There is. And I got a chance to go up there. And not only are there some Bible believers, there's a room full of them. There's a room full of them. I stood in the pulpit. I said, you know, I can't wait to tell the rest of Bible believing Christianity there's this many real believers that love God and love God's book up here. Amen. In the land of Kennedys and Careys and Queers and everything else. Amen. There's some folks that love God. Oh, I'm not supposed to yell when I'm teaching, right? I forgot. So that set them up. They got all real happy when I said that. Yeah, bless God. And then I said this. I said, but I got to tell you something, man. In case you're not aware, you folks talk funny up here. Amen. Amen. And you know why I said that? Because I'm from the old school. What's the old school? The best defense is a good offense. I knew that as soon as I stepped behind the pulpit, that's what they were thinking about me. Everybody doesn't just speak regular like us here. Amen. Amen. Your words will tell on you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. You can have good manners. You can be raised right, trained right. And if you're not careful with what comes out of your mouth, you can corrupt all that. And I'm going to tell you what, I've seen some ladies that claim to be saved, don't doubt they were, believe that book, claim to love that book, and are nowhere near the will of God anymore because sin entered their life, and almost every occasion it entered with evil communication. Sometimes it was texting. How did that become a verb? I'm so far behind. Amen. Emailing, talking on the phone, talking to somebody they shouldn't be talking about too long, about the wrong things. Evil communication will destroy your testimony. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Words. Powerful words. Bible says in Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off. Talking about putting off the old man with his deeds. And it says, put off all these. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't take me aside to hear some joke you've got to whisper. I don't want to hear it. Don't in hushed tones tell me ethnic jokes about other races. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Let God save me out of that kind of junk, and I'm not interested. It'll affect me. I don't want it to affect me negatively. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That's what we ought to be working at. Amen. Now, all those things, now I'm talking about powerful words, and they're all negative, and I like that personally, but, you know, everything the Bible says about words isn't negative, so I'm not going to just bring out those things. It says this, in Proverbs 15 and verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Pleasant to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And it says pleasant words in Proverbs 16. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I'll tell you what, we've got a blessing here this week because just some of the kindness that we've been shown, some of the encouragement that we've been shown. Listen, I'm not a whiner at all, and I don't apologize for our call and what we do. I don't apologize for liking traveling. I don't apologize for any of that. But I'll tell you what, it gets weary sometimes. And boy, just a pleasant word fitly spoken sometimes is just all it takes to encourage you and cause you to purpose in your heart to keep going. Doesn't take much. Sometimes just a pleasant word at the right time. Amen. And I've had some and heard some this week, and I thank you for it. I'm rejuvenated enough to make it at least to Hastings next week. Amen. It's a long way home from there, but amen, we'll get there. Lord willing, Lord willing. Proverbs 27, go ahead and turn there. Go ahead and turn there. You're staring at me too hard. And I'll give you something to do. Proverbs, what did I say? And as opposed to what I meant. Proverbs 17, I don't think that's what I said. Oh, don't laugh, it's not that far. Proverbs 17 in verse 27, the Bible says this, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Well, I guess, no, never mind. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So if you talk a lot with a bad spirit, you're stupid. Amen. I know that was kind, wasn't it? Didn't you like that? I'll scratch that. It says in verse 88, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I heard this before I ever knew it come out of the Bible. It'd be better to keep quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Amen. You've heard that. I've heard that. Do you know that came from the Bible? Amen. That means you'd do well to pay attention to it. It says in Colossians 6, I'm sorry, that'd be interesting. When you found that, please stand. Colossians chapter 4, in verse 6, the Bible says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. May your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Listen, one of the reasons that I travel in a motorhome is because I was in evangelism without a motorhome, and if you saw some of the places that people, some of the accommodations people showed me, and my wife threw a family to sleep, I said, forget this, man. We'll just go in debt and get us our motorhome, because when I remember I was alone this trip down in Florida, and it was 95 degrees out, and somebody said, oh yeah, Brother Bertie, we'll put you up. We'll take good care of you. And I got there, and they had an old trailer out behind the church, and in the trailer there's a room where all the Sunday school supplies were jammed, and I mean it was jammed, and they just pushed back the junk about 4 feet and put a cot right there, and opened the door and said, here you go. And I looked at this bed. The bed I had in jail was better than that. But and the room is just full of stuff. I don't know how they ever could find anything. But one morning I was laying there. I woke up, you know, cockroach crawling up the side of, and I'm laying there, and there's a sign. I don't know if they used it for Bible school, vacation Bible school, or Sunday school. But it was laying on its side. And when you looked in the room, you didn't really notice it. But laying in bed, I was reading it, and it said, "Make sure your words are seasoned with salt, because tomorrow you may have to eat them." Amen. Now about that, words are powerful. Amen. The Bible in Titus chapter 2 talks about sound speech that cannot be condemned. That means it's our responsibility to make sure what we converse about is above reproach. Words are powerful, and if it can be taken wrong, don't you know by now, it will be. The ability to hurt or to help lies with the tongue. In grade school, little saying, you've heard it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many ever heard that in your life? Any variation of that? Somebody will correct me with an adjective somewhere. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? That's not true at all. I'm going to tell you what, a fat lip and a black eye will heal up faster than a wounded spirit. Words are very powerful. Words are very powerful. We had a saying in the old days, and it went like this. A drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. In other words, people get liquored up a little bit and then say things and brag and then when they, you know, you dot their I, then they go, oh, I didn't mean it. I was drunk. And it said, look, if that's what come out of your mouth when you were drunk, that's what was in your heart, that's Bible too. And I'm going to tell you how that translates for me and you. An angry man's words. An angry woman's words. Amen? That was in there, see? And what comes spewing out of your mouth when you lose control of your spirit, for whatever reason, was in there. And you're responsible to take care of that. You're responsible to control that. The Bible says, amen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And people say things all the time without any regard for the damage they do. Amen. So, powerful words this morning. That was the introduction. That was the introduction. Now let me give you some points here and maybe give you something to think about. Chew on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says this, edify one another. Could I just say, good thing, we're talking about things to incorporate into our speech as Christians, and one of those things would be words that edify. Words that edify. Edify means to instruct and improve in moral and religious knowledge, in faith and holiness. According to the definition, it really doesn't have much of an application in the English language anymore outside of the spiritual, and it can be defined briefly, simply like this, to build up spiritually. To build. The Bible says to edify one another, we're to build each other up spiritually. Again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. We're to edify one another. Listen, edify is not a word that I used in the motorcycle gangs. I didn't come home from a long day of pillaging and talk to my buddies, say, hey, anything edify you today? I didn't even ever heard the word till I got in church. But it's in the Bible a lot. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes, just simple, man, we're talking about words. Thank you at the right time might be just the word to help. You're doing a great job. I really appreciate you. You're a blessing. As simple as those words are, they're edifying. You never know what you might say at the just exactly the right time. I got a note from a lady the other day, and I never met her before. We talked for a few minutes, and the Lord impressed it on me to give her one of the CDs. Don't get any ideas, okay? And I did. And then I got a note back from her later, says, you know, you didn't know that I lost my job last month. That was that act of kindness really spoke to our heart. And that's the way it is with words that edify. Amen. And it's good. It's good. Here, men, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Practice this. Honey, that looks nice. It has taken me years to get a hold of how important that is. You know, it's like our mentality is, you know, do you take this woman to love and cherish? And you say, I do. And that's good. You're good for life. Amen. Women aren't like, ladies, plug your ears. Women aren't like that. Amen. They need to hear that you love them. They need to hear, amen, that they're pleasing. It may be a small thing to you. I don't like all those compliments. Every time somebody starts saying nice things about me, I start looking around. And I'm just starting to get over that with my wife because I'm thinking, she really does like me. Amen. Hey, listen, where I came from, anybody that treated you nice, they wanted something. Amen. But we're to edify one another. My mother taught me this. She's a saved Methodist Irish lady. Amen. She was a character too. And she said, I know you could have never detected that. She said this. She said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Well, that's pretty sound, really. Really. I've heard it said about people, they just say what's on their mind, you know. They come up with stuff. Oh, you, that dress makes you look fat. Amen. What a blessing. That's not edifying. You know, that type of thing. Listen. Amen. That's not a virtue to say what's on your mind. A virtue is to have discernment, wisdom, and consideration for other people. We're supposed to. Now, if somebody asks your opinion, that's different. but they just say what's on their mind thing, no matter who it hurts. I don't like that stuff at all. And the Lord doesn't like it. And it's not edifying. And you need to have some tact and diplomacy and consideration. Listen, as an evangelist, I learned this. It's not in the evangelist handbook, which I'm praying that Brother Gipp would write. Amen. Because, boy, there's some things I wish pastors across this country knew, but it'd be hard for me to write the book because I am one. Of course, so is he. He's been one for so long, though, they'd probably listen to him. Amen. But here's one of the things that evangelists are allowed to do. We're allowed to make up words. And then I know everybody can't do that. It's kind of like a superpower that we have. And it comes about because we do it by accident. You know, we'll just say something and well, that sounded pretty good. I made one up once. I was trying to talk about edify, and I said this, deadify. And now that word is in the English language, wherever I preach anyway, because that would be the opposite, wouldn't it? If it doesn't build up spiritually, edify, wouldn't deadify accurately describe what it does? Tear down spiritually, feel free to use that. And now, back there on that CD, the CD with the field on it, the new one, that had the songs we sang last night, by the way, a little plug there. That one is me and my wife and my daughter here. The other one has got my wife and three daughters on it, and feel free to buy that. My voice is nowhere near that. The only thing they needed me for was to pay for it. Amen. But those two daughters that aren't here with us, they're in our home church and all that, and they still sing once in a while. And they got up and sang a special one time, and a member of our church, and they will not tell me who it was. These two young girls trying to be a blessing, somebody went up to them and said, you know what, I just don't get anything out of your singing. What a jerk. Amen, they won't tell me who it is. I would love to have a talk with him. How dare you discourage the heart of somebody trying to do something for God. Amen. But words have the power to build up or to tear down, to encourage or discourage, to edify or deadify. And that's powerful. The Bible said where the word of a king is, there's power. There's power in words. Amen. So we ought to get a hold of the importance of words that edify. And maybe we ought to get a hold of this too, words that inquire. Words that inquire, that ask a question in the context like this, how are you doing? And like mean it. And like really mean it. I mean, people need to know that somebody cares, that somebody's interested. I understand that in a church like this, there are some people that you don't dare ask how they're doing. You know, you just wave and keep on going because you'd have to pull up a chair because they're going to tell you. But you know, a lot of times people, when you say, how's it going or how you doing, they just respond like this, fine. And you know what? Listen, it's not always fine. Sometimes, listen, in a church this size, man, there's all kinds of things going on all the time. And it's not a lie to say fine, because in the long view, if you're saved, everything is fine. It is well with your soul, even if your son's dead. Amen? And that's the way it was with the Shunammite woman. Amen? But you know what? The part of this thing, part of this family of God, this local church, part of the thing with being a brother and sister in Christ is really caring about somebody and letting them know. And sometimes it's just good. How about this? How about this word that inquire? That would indicate a question. How about this? Is there anything I can do to help? You know, there's people that'll never ask that question because they're scared to death. Somebody will say, yeah. Amen. Words that inquire, words that edify, words that empathize. I know you're impressed. Empathize. My wife will give you the definition later. No, I got the definition. She must have already gave it to me. It says the ability to be genuinely affected by the distress of another. And we ought to have empathy one to another. The Bible says in Romans 12, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. We get to travel all over. We're in a barbecue joint in Memphis. They got great barbecue there. And my brother-in-law takes me there and our whole family. And we'll be sitting around the table in order. And he does this every time. And he's like a baby Christian. Amen. But a real blessing. He's about 66 years old, but a real sweet guy. And after we order, the waitress will sit there and take order. And he'll say, we're Christians. And we're going to pray for our food. Is there anything that we could pray for you about? And I have seen a variety of reactions to that question from ladies standing there like, what are you talking about? And I've seen girls break down in tears just at the thought that somebody cared enough, amen, that they would pray for them. There's just a little more to charity than quoting Romans 8:28 every time something happens to somebody else. People need to know we care. People need to know that we really care. How about this? Words that excite. Like, that means that fire you up. Fire you up, get you excited. Like this. Remember the Alamo. We have Texans in here. Somebody asked me, how come you're not from Texas, Brother Spurgeon? You're from Tennessee. How come you wear cowboy boots? I said, well, people from Tennessee are allowed to wear cowboy boots because if it wasn't for us coming over there, you'd all be speaking Mexican these days. Yeah. Of course, if you go to Texas nowadays, that's about 90% of the language there. Amen. But remember, the Alamo is a battle cry that fired people up, amen. That didn't mean the war was over. That fired Houston up and rallied the troops, and they went on and stayed in the fight. Same way with Pearl Harbor, amen. Remember, Pearl Harbor was a battle cry. How about this for a battle cry? Remember Calvary! Well, I tell you what, that ought to get you excited. That ought to remind you that that a sacrifice was made, the blood was shed, and the war's not over. That ought to inspire us to get us excited about getting in the fight. Some people's words get you enthused about God. Testimonies of what He's done and what He's doing. Amen. That excites me. Like I said the other day, anybody got a word of testimony? Listen, if the only thing you got to say after 5 or 10 or 15 years is, I want to thank God for saving me, you're missing the boat. Well, He's willing to do much more than that for you. And some people's words get you excited, and some people's words are like a wet blanket. Amen. And I don't want to be that. I gave a ride. I had to go preach in Indianapolis. It's a two-hour drive. I was just going over there for a Sunday morning, left real early in the morning, and took one of the preacher boys from my church. He wanted to ride along. And I said, oh, come on. And we're going, and it's like, well, Brother Spurgeon, how's the ministry going? Sound like that Eeyore donkey guy. And let me assure you, Dave Spurgeon has never watched Winnie the Pooh one time. Amen. I just picked this up from my kids and stuff. That would depress me. This guy sounded like Eeyore. Well, I don't think God will ever use me. How do you get messages? Just on and on. After 2 hours in a car with him, I'd ready to commit suicide. Amen. I say, yeah, we didn't stop at a bar, man. You're driving me nuts. Words that excite, man, will help us. What do your words do? Is everything you got to say negative? Is there everything, oh, well, you know, complaining and stuff? Come on, man. Everybody in here is better off than they deserve. I mean, no matter what's going on, if you're saved, you're much better off than you deserve. Words affect people. How are yours affecting people? How about this? Words that exhort. Exhort. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling. No, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Hebrews 10:24. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think some independent Baptists read that verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but gnashing on one another, and so much the more. Listen, the reproving and rebuking with all long suffering and doctrine is His job. Your job is to exhort the brethren. God's given us each other to encourage one another. Amen. To hold each other's feet to the fire by our actions. Amen. Not by our critiquing. Words that exhort, you're a blessing. You're a blessing. You say that to somebody, that might help, and that might be a word fitly spoken at the appropriate time. How about this? The Lord really used you. Even just, I appreciate you. Or something you've done. Listen, the devil is constantly trying to wear out the saints and undermine any kind of encouragement that comes our way. And I got news for you. He uses brethren and sistren to do it sometimes. And we need to get a hold of the power of words. And we need to get a hold of words that exhort. And another one. I got another one. I got some more. He didn't tell me what time to stop, and it's too late now because I'm not listening. How about this? Words that entreat. Entreat. Now that means this, to make an earnest petition or request. How about this? To offer a treaty. Let me give you some words that entreat. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? I'll tell you what, those would be some words that when it's applicable, we need to incorporate into our vocabulary. The devil hates that. The devil's so hung up on pride, and the devil's been having a heyday with that attribute of the human nature for so long. It is so contrary to Christ-like in humility and lowliness of mind. He hates it when Christians are willing to admit they made a mistake. That tears us up. Even when we're wrong and we know it, it's a crying shame that we have such a hard time admitting it to others. Maybe you need to apologize to somebody about something. You'd be amazed at the power that would have in reconstructing a relationship with whoever, with a parent, with a child, with a spouse, with a church member. It'd be amazing. Boy, you'd see some power in words. If you was ever going to apologize, you'd have to have the person sit down because they'd probably faint. But I tell you what, you do well. You do well when you're wrong to admit you're wrong. Powerful words. All right, here's some powerful words right here. Last of all, that was pretty powerful. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, those long anticipated words by a Baptist evangelist. Amen. Verse 12, it says this, Revelation 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, there it is again, scriptural. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto them, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Those are words that exalt. And we do well to incorporate words that exalt into our vocabulary. I was in Long Island one time, had a problem with the motorhome, had to go to an auto parts store. I got in there, there's a guy, he's about 5'3", amen, must have been the manager, filthy mouth, amen, acting like just belittling all the other employees, had everybody intimidated, had skulls tattooed all over him, looked like a real tough little wimp to me. And I walked in the store and he's taking the Lord's name in vain, and I, you know, hey, listen, I'm a big boy. I was out there, okay. But boy, the way he was treating the other employees, man, somebody made a return and he knocked the box on the floor and told some girl, pick that up and put it away. I wanted to choke the guy. In Jesus' name, of course. And I just stood there and I thought, you know, this little jerk really needs the Lord. And I got up to the counter and he goes, yeah, what do you want? I said, well, I need this, 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 and this. And he said, he looked in the computer and said, yeah, we got it. I said, praise the Lord. And he went, and the other people, they looked up. And he said, excuse me? I said, yeah, glory to God, man. I'm here preaching from 700 miles away. It's a blessing to me that God has allowed you to have my part here. And he's like choking on himself. And I said, by the way, son, God's last name is not Damn. And I mean, these other employees, man, they're like, yes, you know. And this guy, man... Listen, that wasn't any big struggle at all for me to say praise the Lord when they had what I wanted. I do praise the Lord. Those are kind of things that just ought to be a natural part of our way of speaking. Words that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy. Amen? All right. James chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says this, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. I'm going to show you how powerful they are. I'm going to show you how powerful they are. I've become an illustrator. This could go either way. All right? We're talking about the power of words, and this is just as good a way as I can think of. Evie, sorry. Had to use all your toothpaste. If we don't get an offering, man, your breath's going to be bad by next week. You know I'm in trouble for that. Amen. You see that right there? Now, you know what you'd have a hard time doing right now? You'd have a hard time getting that back in here. I dare say, boy, I was in a church in Alabama. I said, come here, son. I said, put all that back in there for me. And I had a big tube, and I was writing my name. And I said, get all that. And he was going to try, bless his heart. But see, you know, as well as I do, it can't be done. And that's what it is when you open your mouth. Wouldn't it be better just to leave it in there rather than try to clean it up later? Listen here. The key to this whole thing, the key to this whole thing about words is in Psalm 19 and verse 14. Go ahead and turn there. While I try to get this back in for next time. Now we got to get another sample in the mail. Hard to get mail when you move every week. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Boy, if we could just take a minute before we start talking and consider whether or not what we're about to say is acceptable to the Lord or not, I'll tell you what, it would keep us out of some trouble. If not, then wouldn't it be better? I mean, this ain't rocket science, is it? Wouldn't it be better just to leave it unsaid? Wouldn't it be better if we get a hold of the fact that we have the ability to be a blessing and encourage and maybe have something to do with keeping some brothers and sisters in the fight instead of the other, instead of the opposite? Words, just by words. Powerful stuff, important stuff, preacher.
All right, appreciate that. Good encouragement, good exhortation. Sometimes we need to be reminded of the simple stuff, right? All right, we're going to take a break. You have a little bit of extra time here this morning. Brother Spurgeon's not as long-winded as he claims to be. And so we'll give him some extra time for the morning service. You have about 20 minutes before we get started, so... I'll get up, stretch your legs, fellowship a little bit, and we're dismissed.